Hey, whatever it takes, man.
It's all about winning, all right? Winning on three. One, two, three, win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Grover. All the way. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri moves a 48-yard field goal. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
It's Six Rings and Football Things. I'm Tom Carroll with WEEI, and I'm here with John Lyons, a contributor here at WEEI. We're here for day seven of training camp, a recap for you, and there's a lot to cover. Now that they have pads on, we can actually give you some real analysis. So, John, before we get going, what was your overall view of how day seven looked for you at training camp?
This is always an interesting time of camp for me because now that it's a week in and there's multiple days in pads, you can really start to learn things about guys because it's not just a guy has one good practice or even a couple good practices. Now you have a week's worth of evidence. You have multiple days in pads to see how does this guy really react to good situations? How does he react to bad situations? So I think today was a practice that we started to learn more and more things about some of the guys, especially, Tom, some of the young players that I think this team is going to rely on quite a bit this year.
So let's get right into those young players. And I want to do a segment that I like to call Big Deal, Little Deal, or No Deal. It's not an original concept. I'm not saying it is. But that'll be a good way.
There we go.
Yeah. That'll be a good way for us to kind of talk about how things went today. And I think the big story of the day is, unfortunately for Patriots fans, Will Campbell struggled mightily in pass protection. So, I look, it's early, and I'm trying to be positive. I know that we talked early in camp about how he looked good run blocking. So, to see him now struggling with pass blocking, knowing that the short arms were something that people were going to be worried about, now you can start to maybe get the panic meter going a little bit. But again, he is a young player. So for you, big deal, little deal, no deal from what you've seen from Will Campbell in pass protection so far and really what you saw today.
So for me right now, little deal based off what I saw today, because if you look at what he struggled with today, it was Ke'Lavon Chase on inside speed rushes, which if you watched him at LSU, that was one thing he had a little bit of trouble with. That's one area where the shorter arm length could show up because he might overcompensate towards the outside. So I wasn't that surprised that he had some struggles against an inside speed rusher. But to be clear, he's run blocked really well. When guys have gone outside, he's done a pretty good job. When it's been bull rushes right at him, he's done a really good job. It's this one specific kind of rush. Now, that being said, the reason I say little deal instead of no deal is because other teams are going to know this and they're going to try to exploit it until he gets it corrected or until Josh McDaniels takes steps to try to help him out. So it was noticeable, right? Ke'Lavon Chaisson beat him for what I would have had is two sacks in a team period there. And both, one was on a spin move to the inside. One other one was just a straight speed rush to the inside. So those inside fast speed type rushes is something that I think is going to probably be his biggest struggle as young. But now it doesn't mean he can't do it. Doesn't mean he won't get better. But I think what you saw today, I wasn't that shocked because I think that's going to be the thing he has to do the most work on as he develops.
So let's stick on Chaisson actually, because I think he was sort of an under the radar free agent pickup with all the big names that they brought in. He kind of flew under the radar. He's not a huge name league wide, but he ended the year really strong for Vegas last year. And now he comes in here, he's looked really good in camp. So big deal, little deal, no deal, what you've seen so far from Ke'Lavon Chaisson, and again, focusing on really what you saw today.
Yeah, I think it's another one of those little deals because they have Keon White, they have Harold Landry. I think those guys are the starters. But what Chaisson has showed us is he's the third guy right now, and over Anthony Jennings, a guy that started last year. Maybe he'll get to a point where he's a top two guy. And let's go back to Chaisson's earlier career. I mean, he was drafted in the first round, and I know his years in Jacksonville were forgettable, and you get the nail on the head. He got much better in Vegas towards the end of last year, but that raw talent was always there. It's why he got drafted in the first round, and maybe now with Mike Vrabel, with Terrell Williams, and also it helps to have Milton Williams next to you, right? And maybe he's able to kind of finally put all that together and build off what happened in Vegas, because again, The raw talent is there. And if they can have a pass rushing group that is Keon White, Harold Landry, and then Chaisson's the third guy, and maybe Swinson's the fourth guy on the edge, and obviously Jennings more of a run player, but if those four guys can be productive, they can have an excellent pass rush in this league. It's just, can he put it all together? It feels like so far, Tom, because this is another one of those things I mentioned. As you learn, guys, this wasn't one good day for him. He's had a good camp, essentially from the starting until now. And I think we're starting to see maybe him putting it all together. Maybe he's just a better fit in this scheme. I don't know what it is, but this isn't a 1 or 2 day thing. He has been good all of camp, and he's carving out, I think, a real role for himself.
Let's go back to another rookie here that we've seen have a really good camp as opposed to Campbell, who's been up and down. And that's Kyle Williams. I think he's been one of the best players overall at camp. And we saw another highlight again from him today. Probably the best touchdown on the day, a 40-yard touchdown. So Kyle Williams, big deal, little deal, no deal from the touchdown you saw today and, again, his overall camp.
So I would say big deal here. And not just the touchdown today. That was great. But it feels like he's progressing. And how many times over the years have we seen Patriots rookie receivers have a good day here, a bad day here, or it feels like they're not building on things? Even Jalen Polk last year was good throughout most of camp and then regressed during the season, right? So you want to see these guys stack days together, especially at that position for a young player who, if it works out, could be tied with Drake May for several years. And so I think it's been nice to see his speed element down the field, because you go back to a couple years ago, right? They draft Tyquan Thornton. Tyquan Thornton was fast, but Kyle Williams has game speed, and I think that's different. Kyle Williams has down the field game speed, which is something they haven't had in this offense in a long time. Because again, they've had fast guys, right? The infamous quote from Matt Groh, but not a lot of fast game speed guys. And that's just another element, right? I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to catch 45 passes this year and have a rookie year like DeMario Douglas did a couple years ago production-wise. But if he can give you one or two downfield receptions and threats per game, then I think you're really in business with like a Stephon Diggs in the intermediate area, DeMario Douglas underneath, Kayshon Booty, who we're going to get to in a little bit, who's been great. So it's a really nice element to their offense. And again, it feels like he is consistently improving, which for a young wide receiver, especially in this offense, we haven't always seen. So it's nice to see that.
So let's go right to Booty. He's someone that we've talked about on this podcast, saying that we thought he's had a good camp. He's someone that I have both said and written about that I think he should be a part of this team, and I think that he is in that sort of middle group of guys that should make the squad from that wide receiver room. He had a nice day again here in day 7. Big deal, little deal, no deal, Kayshon Booty.
I think it's a definite big deal, Tom, because you mentioned, could he be in that middle group? I think as of today, he's the number 2 receiver on the team behind Stephon Diggs, and I'll tell you why. One, he's had a really good camp, and his production's been good. He hasn't had any of those little mistakes, or you know those things that he's done in the past, where whether it was complaints in the media or not getting his feet down against the Eagles in 2023. It did always be some sort of little frustrating nuisance side mistake. He hasn't had any of those. But today really showed me something from the coaching staff, because the Patriots went 12 personnel in warmups and also during 11-on-11 drills. For those who know, 12 personnel, one running back, 2 tight ends, 2 receivers. Traditionally, what teams do when they go 12 personnel is the 2 receivers are just the 2 guys that they think are the best players. And one grouping was Booty and Stephon Diggs. Another grouping was Booty and Kyle Williams. And Kyle Williams, of course, brings that speed element, which is nice. But I thought it was really notable that both of those groupings had Kayshon Booty, because what that tells me, Tom, is that Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels look at Kayshon Booty as one of their top 2 receivers. Obviously, they look at Diggs as the guy, right? The all-pro guy. But to have Booty not only as your starting receiver in 11 personnel, but then when you go 12 personnel, to have him starting and involved in multiple groups, that tells me that they think he's one of the top 2 receivers on the team, and they're expecting big production out of him this year. And again, I was skeptical of him in the offseason. I'll raise my hand to that. I was. So far, he's been proving me 100% wrong. He's had a great camp, and it feels like he's a really nice fit in this offense.
So let's talk about another guy that's seemingly a part of all sorts of groups on multiple sides of the ball now, and that's Travion Henderson. Seems like he's going to be a part of both the special teams and offense here. At least that's what we saw reps-wise today. So big deal, little deal, no deal that we saw Travion Henderson working with special teams. And again, having one of the better camps of anyone on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah, the last part is the big deal, right? One of the better camps of anyone on the offensive side of the football. The special teams thing, I think, is important because I think a lot of special teams coaches around the league, because of the new kickoff rules and the adjustments over the past offseason, look at that almost as a running play, but across the whole field. And I saw today in drills, it was Antonio Gibson and Travion Henderson were the two guys they had returning kicks. And you look at Henderson's speed, right? We've all seen that 75-yard catch and run against Texas. We've all seen the big plays against Oregon, right? We've all seen them. If you can find a way to get that speed on the field in its special teams, its offense, whatever, that's what you want to do. And I saw it today. Another thing that stood out and might be a little thing to some folks, but I think it's important as they project their offense, they had him running between the tackles a little bit. And I think if you're going to have Travion Henderson on the field a lot, there's two things he's going to have to do that a lot of people might not really care about or notice. He's going to have to pass protect well. That gets him on the field all three downs. And he's going to have to be able to run between the tackles just good enough that a defense has to respect it. And think back to James White. We remember him as a pass catcher, remember him as an outside guy, but split out at receiver. He could run between the tackles just good enough that teams had to respect it so he could be on the field on any down. And I think that's where Travion Henderson is trending. I'm not telling you he's going to be the co-Super Bowl 51 MVP like James White should have been. But I think that role is kind of what they want him for. So I think it was significant that he was on the field for kick returns, as well as now he's running between the tackles. It's not just outside speed stuff on offense.
So you mentioned the interior of the offensive line, running between the tackles. So let's stick
there. You know it's
there.
A favorite topic of mine,
You
Tom.
Love the offensive line, and I love that you love the offensive line. We need guys like that. So you had Cole Strange seemingly demoted with the second unit playing left guard. You also saw him lining up at center a little bit early in practice, but Ben Brown getting the first team reps at center. You also had a guy that you and I talked about the other day, Jared Wilson, getting those left guard reps with the first team. So big deal, little deal, no deal, what you've seen from the interior of the offensive line over the last couple days.
Yeah, this is the biggest deal of camp right now. And obviously, look, the biggest storyline overall is Drake May's development and his progress. And oh, by the way,
Campbell is probably 1B on that.
Sure. And yeah. We haven't even mentioned May today. He continues to have a great camp.
Right.
And in a way, we're not mentioning him, but it's a good thing, right? He's playing so well.
If you want Drake May content, that's out there. You can find
it. And again, he's played really well. But I think that interior of the offensive line, that's the biggest deal I'm watching right now outside of May's development and Will Campbell, right? It's right there. If you want to make a top three, it's probably third.
Let's make a top three.
It's May, it's Campbell, it's that interior.
There you go. We just made a top three.
Because what is going to be detrimental to a young quarterback like that? Obviously, if he gets pressure off the edge against Campbell, but if he gets pressure right up the middle in his face, that's going to be huge. And the progress of Jared Wilson, I think he's made as much progress early in this camp as any player on the roster right now. We saw him taking reps at center earlier in camp. Today, he was the starting left guard. And I know you mentioned Cole Strange, and technically it is a demotion for Cole Strange, but it felt like this was more about how well Jared Wilson has played. And I heard from Caden Wallace after practice, and he just said Jared Wilson, for a rookie, is really good. You could tell how impressed he was. So I think Jared Wilson is really carving out a role for himself as the starting left guard. It's still a competition, I think, between him and Strange. Maybe Layden Robinson's in that mix a little bit. But to me right now, and again, it's early, it's day seven, he's the front runner right now. And Ben Brown at center was interesting to me because he's a bigger body than Cole Strange, and maybe they like that. He did play some center last year. I thought he was really inconsistent last year. Maybe they feel like the good moments is what they're going to get out of him and not the bad ones. I don't know. But I found that interesting because you know Campbell's your left tackle. You know Morgan Moses is your right tackle. You know Onwenu's your right guard. You don't know who your center and your left guard. Like, those are true competitions, and it feels like Jared Wilson is the guy that has separated himself, and they want him at guard, and he's also really athletic, ran a 4.8 40 at the combine. It's now, what are they going to do at center? Is it going to be Bradbury when he's back healthy? But it doesn't feel like that spot is locked down. Is it going to be Ben Brown? Is it going to be Cole Strange as it keeps working? That, to me, again, if you're making a top three things of list of what I'm watching, it's, yeah, Drake May's development, Will Campbell, and then this interior O-line might be the biggest competition right now in camp.
So you mentioned Morgan Moses in passing, and I'm just kind of throwing this one at you out of the blue, but look, it's something that has been discussed throughout camp. Big deal, little deal, no deal, the way that they've been managing Morgan Moses' reps so far. And, you know, he's an older player. He missed some time the last couple of years after missing basically no time in his career. And to me, you want a guy that's going to be like the leader of your room out there as much as possible, and someone that you feel really good about durability wise. But my antennas are up on that one, and I wanted to see what you thought. Big deal, little deal, no deal for a guy who I think is 34 years old, really getting his reps managed in a way that's like, it's almost like he's rehabbing from injury the way that they're looking at his reps and treating him right now. Big deal, little deal, no deal, Morgan Moses.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go no deal on this one because he's played over 1,000 snaps, 5 different years in his career. So you know he can be durable. He's a little bit older. You know he's going to be solid. Morgan Moses is not going to walk in here and be a Hall of Fame right tackle, but he's going to be solid. You know that. And you need some work on some of your depth right tackles. Like DeMontre Jacobs has not looked good at all this camp from my eyes.
Or all of last season.
And Caden Wallace has now been moved into guard. So you really need to figure out who is going to be that second guy at right tackle. You know Moses is going to be the first guy. Like I said, he's a little bit older. They want to manage him because you really cannot afford that guy to get hurt. Because
so you think that's what it is. You think it's a management because you know how important the right side of the line is going to be for next year.
And I think he's a smart enough veteran player that he doesn't need as many reps to pick everything up. And look, reps are extremely valuable. They always have been. They always will be. But I think he's a guy, like I go back to 2011, they signed Brian Waters the week before the season started, and he started every single game at right guard for a team that went to the Super Bowl. Now, that team had Belichick, it had Brady, it had Skarnecchia, had a lot of great pieces.
And Brian Waters, borderline Hall of Famer?
Really good player at a minimum. So I'm not comparing it directly to that situation, but I see some similarities where, hey, just get this guy to the regular season, then he's going to play all the time in games. Like, let's just get him there, and we'll be fine there. So I really don't think it's a big deal at all. I go no deal here. Now, if we get to the joint practice and he's not doing much, or if we get to the second preseason game and he's playing a handful of snaps and that's it, I'll revise my stance. But right now, I don't really see that as a big deal.
All right, that's going to do it for big deal, little deal, no deal. I like this format.
It's fun,
I think,
Tom.
It's good for training camp.
And you know what? You thought of this.
Look
you
at
came
me.
Up with it. You invented it.
I don't know about that. It's definitely
so
been done.
Start.
But sure, I'll take credit. All right, that's going to do it for Six Rings and Football Things on day 7 of training camp. We'll be back for day 8 tomorrow.